Swift.radio.
So, where the hell have I been? Yeah, where the hell have I been? Well, it began when I was abducted by aliens. Yeah, it was terrible. They abused me in ways you can't imagine. They did experiments on me and a Sasquatch. Where they got him, I have no idea. But they got more than they bargained for, I guess, because he got loose and pummeled the aliens around. And then he was nice enough to let me free afterwards. And we tried piloting the alien spaceship back to Earth. But unfortunately, we got shot down by another alien ship over Lockerbie, Scotland. And we managed to get clear of the ship, and Bigfoot got away somewhere. But I ended up getting eaten by the Loch Ness Monster. And that was pretty harrowing, let me tell you. But 3 days later, he coughed me up just outside the city of Nineveh. That's in Iraq, by the way. So then I had to find my way back home. I figured that the American Embassy in Baghdad was probably my best shot, but I couldn't get directions. Nobody there spoke English, so I ended up getting captured by ISIS. They were going to behead me, but then they came under attack by Kurdish Peshmerga forces, and I managed to get set free, and there were no American special forces really among them, so in order to get home, I was forced to travel with a group of Syrian refugees, and from there we made it to the Greek island of Lesbos, but we weren't allowed off the island, so I managed to make an armature out of a set of aluminum rods and cemented the some eagle feathers to them with paraffin wax, and that gave me a set of wings, and by flapping my arms really hard I was able to fly off the island and get over to Europe. But unfortunately I flew too close to the sun and the wings melted and I crashed down to Earth again, and man, that really hurt. So I limped over to the American air base in Ramstein, Germany, and there I was finally able to arrange for a flight to the States. But when I got here, I was detained by Homeland Security on suspicion that I was an ISIS combatant with a forged passport. I told them my story, but they didn't believe me. So, yeah, it took me a while to get to my next podcast. Okay, no, seriously. Here's what really happened. Around the beginning of October, my mother, who has, as some of you know, been slowly dying of Alzheimer's disease for many years, she took a turn for the worse, and it was quite clear that the end game was underway. And the nursing home phoned us and told us that she had what they described as an active bleed, which meant that she was bleeding from her mouth, nose, and rectum, and they didn't really know why. So they phoned us to ask us permission to move her to Elmbrook Memorial Hospital because we had her on a do not resuscitate, for obvious reasons, and so my dad and I talked it over, and we decided it was probably a good idea to move her. And it turns out, when she got there, the doctors told us she was dehydrated, and the blood thinners she was on were what led to the bleeding from her nose, mouth, and anus. So, but her kidneys were shutting down, and that wasn't a good sign. So they gave her an IV with antibiotics, and her kidneys responded, and they started, you know, to recover. But we all knew the end game was coming. Her autonomic reflexes were starting to go, and she was losing the ability to swallow, and that led to her getting dehydrated in the first place. So we opted for hospice care, just to make her as comfortable as possible. And a couple of weeks later, we got a call from hospice letting us know she was going to be put on morphine instead of whatever painkiller they'd had her on previously. And the following morning, October 13th, she was gone. She died. Now, okay, we'd actually lost her a long time before then. I realize that. That's what Alzheimer's is about. But when it's final, when it's over, you kind of feel this loss a little bit more. People tell you stupid shit like, she's in heaven now, or crap like that. But you endure it, you know. I did most of the planning for the funeral. I put together a nice photo collage for my favorite pictures of my mom. That went over really well. We have an old friend of the family who is a pastor named Tom Nickelbein, Lutheran pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, and I'd assumed that he would do the service, but he told my father and my sister in a previous conversation that he would only do it if we all as a family reaffirmed our commitment to the Lutheran faith. Well, that basically amounted to a no, so we were without a minister. The funeral home said they'd provide us with somebody, but that would mean we'd have to do the memorial service with someone who obviously had no idea who my mother was or what she was about, and that would have been a complete disaster. So I stepped up, and I gave the eulogy, and I think I did okay. Well, all that's only part of the story of where I've been all this time. I got ill almost immediately after that, and all that was over with, I got really sick. Maybe it was a result of all of the many people who came around and did their glad handing and back patting. And when you spend some time among crowds, whether it be a convention or something, you know, germs get passed around. A lot of people get sick when there's a big gathering of some kind. But I did get something really nasty in my lungs, and that eventually led to me losing my voice with all the coughing that I was doing. Well, you lose your voice, you can't do a podcast. That sucks. So I was out for a couple of weeks with that. Well, so while that was going on, I eventually did manage to get over the cold, and I got my voice back, but by then it was Halloween weekend. Now, I went to the party of Veda Laning, who has always put on a great Halloween party, and this one it was no less of a blast than anything else, but I brought along a nice date with me, and she was awesome, and still is, and Veda's dog, Laverne, wouldn't you know it, got a little bit freaked out with all the strangers at the party, and, you know, my date that night is a real dog person. She had a couple of little dogs of her own, and so she was all petting Laverne, and, you know, cute doggy, and I guess that was just one stranger too many, and she did a yip and nipped her right in the face, right in the nose, in fact. And, yeah, so that freaked her out and made for a very memorable first date. Well, in spite of that, everything went well, and it seems that how nice I was to her after she got bitten in the nose by my friend's dog ended up getting me a very quality girlfriend. And that's no waste of time, but that is something that makes it a little bit harder to do a podcast, especially when you're in class and your job is whomping 50-hour, 58-hour weeks on you. So all of that led me up to, finally, the holiday time off. And that's when I was able to go back and start scripting a nice podcast together, which is now in the new year, ready to go. So that's where the hell I've been. Happy New Year. Ready? Let's do the show. Shit. Swift Radio presents the Sacred Cow Verst House. Swift Radio Hour, a.k.a. the Sacred Cow Verst House, for, let's see, what is today? It is Tuesday, January 5th, 2016. It's going to take me so long to get used to saying 2016. The Iowa caucuses will be over with by the time I get to that point. I'm your host, Eric J. Hildeman, and here you'll be challenged by logic and critical thinking as you learn the true meaning of the word liberal. We are the official radio show and podcast of SWIFT, which stands for the Southeast Wisconsin Freethinkers, the largest and oldest group of atheists and agnostics in the greater Milwaukee area. Be sure to check out our website at www.swiftnow.org. This podcast is being pre-recorded live from the Creature Cantina at Mos Eisley Spaceport, where an alien known as Scott Walker is currently sipping a Bloody Mary, still recovering from his hangover. No, not from the New Year's Eve party, but from his presidential bid. Actually, no, it's being pre-recorded live from Greenfield, Wisconsin, or, as it's known by the true city slickers of Milwaukee, the great outdoors. You can access our podcast at our permanent home and archive at sacredcowversthouse.podomatic.com. There you'll find every episode of this podcast permanently available, where you can subscribe via iTunes, access on Google Play, or download the Podomatic app, so you can take it with you in your little pocket all over the place and treat it with great care and love. Quick disclaimer, opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily those of the Southeast Wisconsin Freethinkers, its members, or its affiliate organizations. So, for example, if I say that Hillary Clinton rocked it at the Benghazi hearings and gave the GOP a major black eye, that would not be an official position of the group. SWIFT is an organization open to all ethnicities, creeds, and viewpoints. Anyway, I'm here, Isabel the Cat is here, Muhammad the Teddy Bear is here, and we're about to get started. Our silly Christian music sampler to open the show was Jamie by a band called Krumbacher, and there was a specific reason I chose that one, and we'll get to that later on. Our next SWIFT meeting will be, let's see, Sunday, February, I think, 5th. At 11 a.m. at the Chase Bank in Cudahy, located on the corner of Layton and Packard Avenue. And this is going to be our Darwin Day celebration, where we are going to be celebrating the birthday of Charles Darwin. Also happens to be the birthday of Abraham Lincoln, but we celebrate it as Darwin Day, where we revel in the truth of evolution. And I will be giving a talk there, and so will an old professor of mine, Dr. Andrew J. Petto, of University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. So we're looking forward to that. We'll have lots of food, lots of snacks, lots of fun. It's going to be awesome, so please be there. And that's pretty much it for the announcements that I have so far. There are other little announcements going on. We know our Friday Fitness Walk and Talk is still going on. That's part of SWIS now, which is our affiliate group. It's part of our, I guess I could say sister group, maybe? I don't know. It's not an official part of SWIFT as such, but it is something that is going on. The Mythicist Milwaukee group continues to meet over at Bucket Works. Okay, you can check that out every Sunday. And lots of other things that are going on besides that, including our Thursday socials, which are going on as well. I will have more information for that for you in subsequent podcasts. And if you want to know more, you can go to www.swiftnow.org and read all about when those are. The venue has changed. It's no longer at the location in Bayview. They have picked another restaurant, which, oddly enough, I can't think of at the moment. Sorry about that. Let's see. Oh, my goodness. You remember this news story, okay? Yes. Okay, we're covering a lot of the things because with all the time that I missed, okay, I'm covering kind of what I missed and taking a look back at 2015 at the same time. Remember this news story that bacon causes cancer? Yeah, National Health Organization had put out an official announcement that they felt that bacon and certain other fried meats were as cancer-causing as cigarettes. And, oh, man, isn't that amazing? You know what? That deserves a song. Yes, I think so. Try to smile.
this pill.
Going on with the news here, on Friday, November 13th, there was this coordinated attack on, well, it took place in Paris, France, of course, and again, this plunged the entire world into a reactionary fear, largely against Syrian refugees and Islamic extremism, specifically. And Republicans have been incensed against President Obama for allowing about 10,000 of them, that is, Syrian refugees, to find refuge here in the United States, as if somehow maybe people of that culture might not come here and take a look around and maybe decide, oh, America's not such a bad place after all. Maybe their viewpoint's not such a satanic thing. Maybe that could happen. No, Republicans don't think that way. And so this has been tied into the political rhetoric spewed by the likes of Donald Trump and others regarding illegal immigration as a whole, and Latino immigration in particular. I guess the motto of the Statue of Liberty is slowly transmorphing itself into, fuck your tired, your poor, and your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Why don't you brown bastards go back home? Don't come over here. Yeah, okay, that's American, isn't it? Of course, the biggest movie news that happened in my absence was, of course, the release of the new Star Wars movie. Yes, The Force Awakens. Spoiler alert, it's good. Okay, so 2016's finally arrived, bringing, 2015 actually passed, which meant that the date that was predicted by the sci-fi movie Back to the Future has come about to fruition. We don't have flying cars, but we do have hoverboards, quote-unquote hoverboards, which is odd because they don't fucking hover, like, at all. But they do occasionally catch fire and explode. Yeah, how's that for futuristic? Yeah, right. If I wanted to invent something that suspended me in midair in an inefficient way and maybe potentially set me on fire, I'd just put a cherry bomb underneath a 2x4 and light the fuse before standing on it. Yeah. Oh, also, mass shooting at Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs. Mass shootings all over the place, but that one in particular catches my attention because the perpetrator saw himself as this soldier protecting the unborn. Okay. It's the brain, people. The brain. The development of the fetal brain defines the beginning of a human being versus merely growing human cells and tissues. The brain. The okay. Oh, yes, and finally, Bill Cosby has been arraigned on charges of sexual assault and... Yeah, to heck with that. All right. Okay, time for an Ask Eric segment, and as always, when we have an Ask Eric segment, we've got our Ask Eric sound effect here.
Message for you, sir.
All right. Here's the message here that I got by email. Hi, Eric. I moved to Milwaukee from Chicago in June. and went to one Sunday Swift meetup then, but haven't been able to attend again since I drive a truck now, Sundays through Fridays. I really enjoy the podcast. Thanks for playing Petra. They were my favorite band for a couple of years in the 80s. I was into Top 40, and then church members steered me towards Christian rock for a few years, maybe to set me straight. Did you ever hear Krumbacher? That's a blast from the past. I love the metal band Ghost now, some of whose songs sound like Satanic Petra. Listen to The Depths of Satan's Eyes if you want a sample. I became an atheist at age 36 and have been for 6 years now. It would be interesting to converse with my earlier self as you do. Thanks again for the podcast, Jack. Hey, you're welcome, Jack. And I'll be sure to play The Depth of Satan's Eyes at some point, add that to my music collection. In the meantime, I'm going to play the Krumbacher song Interstellar Satellite, which was their biggest hit, also why I opened the show with a Krumbacher song. And I play this not because I want to promote the Christian music business per se, but because I think this song, Interstellar Satellite, is a song that's a prime candidate to be redone as a secular hit. I think it could really work that way. So, here you are. Enjoy Interstellar Satellite by Krumbacher.
Interstellar satellite. Interstellar satellite. And sail.
now it's time for an episode of The Stupid Files. Dum 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 dum. Dum 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 dum. Dum dum. The Stupid Files, the continuing story of intrepid investigator Thomas Munday, who finds examples of such stupidity, it's criminal. If only being this big a moron were somehow against the law. Dum 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 dum. Dum 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 dum. Dum dum dum. This week, Detective Munday finds himself visiting the Philippine Islands, where stupidity have manifested itself in a truly amazing way. Apparently, a priest conducting Christmas Mass found himself in a great deal of trouble for misbehaving during the service. No, he was not caught accosting young boys, nor was he disciplined for drunkenness or other lewd behavior. Rather, this priest's grievous sin was conducting the service while riding a hoverboard. Dum, 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 dum. That was wrong, the Diocese of San Paolo Laguna said in a statement. The Eucharist demands utmost respect and reverence. It's the memorial of the Lord's sacrifice. It is the source and summit of Christian life, the Diocese of San Paolo said. The diocese continued, it is the Church's highest form of worship. Consequently, it is not a personal celebration where one can capriciously introduce something to get the attention of the people. In a world where Christmas services are sparsely attended and soon forgotten, this priest's actions have garnered attention for his parish in a way which was truly novel. Yet somehow this action received more disciplinary action than nearly all of the pedophiles in the priesthood and all of the nuns slapping knuckles of young girls with rulers, proving that when it comes to priorities, the Church cares more about form than function. Dum, 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 dum. The diocese said that the incident happened on Christmas Eve, and that before the final blessing of the Christmas Eve Mass, as a way of greeting his parishioners, the priest sang a Christmas song while going around the nave. That is a word that Detective Munday has not encountered before. Standing on a hoverboard. In its statement, the Diocese of San Pablo added, the priest said it was a wake-up call for him. He acknowledged that his action was not right and promised that it will not happen again. Of all the things that the Church needs a wake-up call for, however, a priest on a hoverboard would seem to be the lowest of priorities, or so it seems to Detective Munday. But apparently the Archdiocese of the Philippines disagrees. He will be out of the parish and will spend some time to reflect on the past event. He would like to apologize for what happened, the diocese said. Dum, 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 dum. Detective Munday finds this all to be very amusing, and yet it has a serious undertone. For all of the Christian traditions this incident disrespects, it seems that it upholds at least one tradition fully, namely the tradition of picking the mote out of a brother's eye while ignoring the plank in one's own eye. And that concludes this week's Stupid Files. Dum, 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 dum. And now, a word from our sponsor. In a political year of unprecedented stupidity, only one candidate stands for sanity, for truth, and for an end to dirty money in politics. Only one candidate stands for an end to crony brinksmanship and to insider gaming. And only one candidate has been endorsed by both Ice-T and Warren G. These nuts. These nuts will enact term limits on anyone old enough to need Viagra. These nuts. These nuts will, at the very least, slow the rate at which corporations continue to destroy our planet. These nuts. These nuts will build a wall around Washington, D.C. to prevent morons from crossing the border and getting into Congress. These nuts. These nuts will bring the troops home and fucking leave them there. These nuts. These nuts will give every girl a pony. These nuts. These nuts will reach across the aisle to punch the other guy in the face. If you want action instead of words, if you're tired of the same old rich people saying they represent you, and if you want a genuine fake instead of a fake, then look no further. These nuts. These nuts. He may be a fake candidate, but he's more real than Donald Trump will ever be. I'm D's Nuts, and I approve this motherfucking message. Whew, wow. I guess this is a crazier political year than I thought, especially since someone's willing to pay for advertising on this podcast. So, since I'm playing catch-up, I had thought that it would probably be a pretty good idea to look back on a lot of the political nonsense that's been going on, and, I can't believe it, he's back. Oh, all crazy thing. All right. Hello, you're on the Sega Cowverse House.
Hello, Eric.
Yes, hello. Is this past Eric?
No. No, this is future Eric.
I thought I was future.
No, you don't understand. This is the Eric of your future.
Yeah?
Yeah. Huh. And I just wanted to let you know of what's happened in your distant future. You see, I'm an old man now, and I've recommitted myself to God.
I see.
Yeah, and having done so, I've found a new sense of peace and harmony that I didn't know during my unbelieving years.
Really?
Really. So, I just thought I'd call and let you know that your atheistic efforts ultimately end up being futile, and that you should really just give your heart over to the Lord and save yourself the time.
This is really past, Eric, isn't it?
No. No, this is future, Eric.
No, it isn't. Come on, quit playing around.
No, it... Oh, okay, it's past, Eric.
Oh, jeez, man, that was a dirty trick.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, really not like you.
Well, it was worth a shot.
No, it really wasn't. I mean, kind of low, man.
Well, you'd have done the same to me.
No, I really wouldn't.
Well,
Fuck it. Never mind. Why are you calling this time?
I wanted to go over the intelligent design stuff with you.
Didn't we already do that?
I mean, we started to, but then we got sidetracked.
I guess you're right. All right.
Yeah, so let's review some stuff, okay?
Yeah, okay.
And no distractions this time, okay? I want to get some genuine answers here.
Well, I want some genuine questions, old man.
You're never going to let this one go, are you?
That's my current plan, yeah.
Well, okay.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
Now, Michael Behe has put forth the argument that certain systems are too complex to have formed by chance.
Yeah, I've read Behe's stuff.
They're like a mousetrap, for example, where each part is absolutely necessary for the mechanism to function. Take away any of those parts, and the mousetrap fails.
Yeah?
Yeah, so such systems are irreducibly complex. They can't have come about except by a divine creator.
Examples?
Well, there's the bacterial flagellum. It's like a little motor driving the tail of the bacteria around in circles to make it swim through water, and such a system is way too complex to have evolved.
Oh, wait. What does a flagellum have to do on a bacteria? Have to do with it?
Well, bacteria are the simplest and earliest forms of life on Earth, right?
Well, sure, but...
So the earliest forms of life came into this world irreducibly complex already. Somebody must have designed it.
Well, look, there are lots of different kinds of bacteria, and some are varieties that evolved from others. Right?
Well,
I mean, the kind of bacteria with flagella that you're describing they evolved from many other kinds of bacteria over millions of years, so you're citing the end product of a long evolutionary process and labeling it the beginning. You can't do that.
Well, there's others.
Uh-huh.
Like the chirality problem.
Oh, okay, I know this one. This is where all the proteins in life are either, you know,
right-handed or left-handed.
Yeah. And that means that something guided that into being?
Right, and that indicates a designer.
Nope.
What do you mean, nope?
Well, when you get proteins that form in nature, half are right-handed and half are left-handed, right?
That's called a racemic mixture.
Yeah, so what happened is that the first replicator just happened to be left-handed.
So?
Well, so the replicators gobbled up all the other left-handed proteins as food and used it to build themselves.
Well, then what happened to all the right-handed proteins?
Well, heat and ultraviolet light would break them apart and reconstitute them into a new racemic mixture, where half are left-handed and half are right-handed. Then the left-handed ones would get gobbled up, the right-handed ones would get broken apart and made into half-right, half-left again, and the left-handed ones would get gobbled up, the right-handed ones would get recycled, and eventually the cycle would continue until they were all left-handed.
That oddly makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Well, then there's the problem of fine-tuning.
Uh-huh.
you know, where any one of 100 factors went into making life on Earth even possible. Yeah. I mean, if gravity were even a slight percentage off, or if the Earth were just a little bit closer to the sun, or if the strong nuclear force were just the tiniest bit different, life on Earth couldn't exist. I mean, the number of variables and factors is just staggering. There had to be a designer for all that.
That is such a profoundly weak argument. I mean, if the variables were different, then life of different sort might have arisen somewhere else. And then those creatures, wherever they would be using the exact same sort of logic to argue why we ourselves couldn't exist. You know, it's like if life like ours is impossible because if some factor was different, then life of another kind might be possible instead. Who's to say otherwise?
Well, we don't know that such life would be possible.
Oh, we don't know that it wouldn't be either. So the argument's useless.
Well, it's impossible to deny the world we live in is fantastically complex. I mean, the people, the societies, the interactions, the incredible intricacies of our world, it's just too overwhelming to be mere chance. There has to be a creator. Even you can't deny that.
Most certainly I can deny it. You see, grand complexities such as you say there are, I'm telling you, the design isn't intelligent. The design is stupid. It's stupid. Take, for example, just how stupid our design is when it comes to our own bodies. Like, the same orifice is used for eating, breathing, and talking. We try to eat and breathe at the same time we choke on our own food and die. How many people throughout history have died on choking? You know, because of this stupid design.
Well,
hundreds of thousands at least. And it's not like the design can't be fixed. Dolphins are designed with one separate hole for breathing and another separate one for eating. No choking there.
Oh, come on, really? Dolphins?
Really? And that's just the beginning. I mean, look at how stupid our reproductive systems are. They're situated on top of our waste excretion areas. It's like putting an amusement park on top of a sewage dump. Right?
Well, now, that's a little crass.
Well, and the delivering of babies with our bodies is insane. I mean, something the size of a baby's head has to go through a pelvic bone barely wide enough to accommodate it, while the fleshy part of the orifice is normally the diameter of a
core.
It's silly. I mean, if there was a intelligent design, then women would have something like a zipper in front of them. You know, out goes the belly, and out comes the
Pete's
baby.
Oh, for sake, God ordained pain upon the woman for eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know that.
Oh, fine. Then look at the rest of nature, huh? I mean, every ecosystem, there's death, predation, flies hunted by spiders, which are hunted by mice, which are hunted by owls. You know, plankton eaten by fish, which are eaten by sharks, which are eaten by humans. Termites, which are eaten by chimpanzees, which are eaten by leopards. I mean, every tree is a battlefield. Every grassy hill is a Golgotha. Every savanna is red in tooth and claw. It's nothing but death, death everywhere. Stupid design.
Death came into the world through sin. You know that too.
Well, why did spiders need to spin a web then, you know, before the fall of Adam and Eve?
Huh?
I said, why did spiders need to spin webs in the Garden of Eden? I mean, they didn't need to catch flies, did they?
Well, I can only surmise that they either didn't spin webs back then, or else they didn't need to eat flies back then.
So what did they spin webs for? Decoration?
I gotta think about that one.
Yes, you will.
I'll get you next time, though.
Yeah, you always say that. One thing, though.
Yes?
You cited Michael Behe, but he wasn't published until 96. If you're contacting me from 1991, how could you know about him?
You're not the only person I call with this temporal telephone, you know.
Well, okay.
Yeah, I'm in consultation with plenty of theologians in your era.
Oh, fine, fine. I'll talk to you later, okay?
You know it. I'll always keep trying.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. And now it's time for another reading from the Holy Babel. The Book of Job. Job being tempted by Satan. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright, fearing God and shunning evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys. And he had a large number of servants. In short, he was rich, the greatest man among all the people of the East. One day the angels of the Lord came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where did you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "Oh, you know, from here and there. I have been out sightseeing." Then the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Yeah, he likes you because you made him rich," Satan replied. "You protected him and gave him everything he has. Take that away and he'll curse you to your face." The Lord considered this, and then he said to Satan, "Fine, I'll prove it to you. Everything he owns is in your power, only don't lay a finger on the man." Then Satan left. Not long afterwards, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby when the Sabians attacked. They made off with all your cattle and put the servants to the sword. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you." He wasn't done speaking yet when another messenger ran up to him and said, "A fire from God fell from the heavens and burned up all your sheep and shepherds. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you." The second servant was still speaking when a third messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans came and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put all the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who escaped to be able to tell you." This third servant was still speaking when yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they're dead. And let me guess," said Job, "you're the only one who escaped to tell me." "Yeah," said the servant. "How did you know?" Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked will I depart. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in so doing, Job committed no sin. Later, the angels were again before the Lord, and Satan presented himself along with them. "Well, where did you come from this time?" asked the Lord.
"Oh, here and there," answered Satan. "The Egyptians are doing this really interesting pyramid tour that you could sign up for on discount, and I was riding the Cheops rickshaws to Karnak and checking out the dancing girls of the Nile Delta."
"Yes, yes, all very nice, I'm sure," said the Lord. "But looks like you were wrong about my servant Job. You took away all he had, and he hasn't cursed me at all, even though you convinced me to take away his fortune for no good reason."
That's because he has still spared his own skin," answered Satan. "Now, a man may be stoic about the goods and a family that he has, as long as he has his own health, but take away that and she'll surely curse you this time."
The Lord considered this. "Well, you were wrong before, and I'm sure you'll be wrong again, but just to prove it to you, I'll turn his body's health over to your power as well. But you must spare his life."
Then Satan left again and inflicted sores all over Job's body, from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Yet Job did not deviate from his prayers and his worship of God. His wife was amazed at all this. "Are you still being pious after all this calamity? Why don't you just curse God and die already?"
"You're a fool," Job told her. "Shall we take the good from the Lord and not the bad?" And in so saying, he continued to not sin. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all the troubles that have come upon him, they decided to visit and comfort their old friend. When they arrived, they found that they could hardly recognize him for all of his body's sores and destitution. They stayed with him for 7 days and 7 nights. No one said a word to him. His suffering was so great, they simply could not find any words to say. Finally, Job said, "I won't curse God, but I curse my own life. I wish I'd never been born." At this, Eliphaz said, "Dude, there must be some mistake here. I mean, petition your God to redress this wrong. Maybe he'll put it all right."
"Oh, my God knows what he's doing," Job answered. "I only wish he'd finally kill me."
Then Bildad said, "Well, you must have done something wrong to earn all this bad fortune. Beg your God for forgiveness, and all will be made well."
"How can I do that?" Job replied. "If I were guilty, how could I dispute him? And though I'm innocent, how can I plead my case? He knows what he's doing, I don't."
Zophar said, "Well, surely you must be able to set things right with an appeal to the Lord."
"I've done no wrong in his sight," Job told him, "but I suffer anyway. I wish my suffering to end, but such is his jurisprudence."
"I've heard enough," said a young man listening nearby. "I'm Elihu, son of Barkhale the Buzite, and though I haven't your years, I'll say something anyway. God simply doesn't punish the just out of spite. He rewards the righteous and punishes sinfulness. You say you're innocent, but I say you can't be. I mean, just look at you."
"I know God's commands, and I've kept them," said Job. "All I can do is be loyal."
Finally, God himself spoke. "You're all full of it. Don't you know I'm a capricious deity of nomadic people whose values make no sense whatsoever? Quit second-guessing me. I do things my way, and it's not your place to understand what I do with such silly things as reason and logic. Now shut up and let me work in mysterious ways."
Then God restored Job's fortune 7 times over. He had more sons and daughters, and had a long and prosperous remainder to his life. And that concludes this reading of the Holy Babel.
All right, well, now it's time for the fish barrel, and I've just got a couple of quick things for the fish barrel stuff here. Any more of the interesting stories that are out here, but even though I just got a couple of stories and, you know, playing catch-up after all this time, I got to do the, you know, cool fish barrel sounds anyway, because that's the tradition, so here we go.
We are almost ready to go. We've got our blast chamber set up around a full barrel of water, and in a very little while, I'm going to lower Jamie's frankenfish into that water. He's going to climb a ladder with a 9mm pistol and take a shot at that fish. For the first time ever, we're shooting fish in a barrel on TV.
Jamie Heineman, our own specialist sharpshooter, unholsters his trusty 9mm. He aims true and pulls the trigger.
All right, so here we go. Nope, that's not a UFO flying above India. Yes, a recent YouTube video has been making the rounds about a purported UFO sighting near a commercial jet that was flying over India. A few people already spotted that it was a fake with some deliberate focusing problems, and also there was a failure of any voices on board the plane to make anything of it. Nobody in the background was saying, "Hey, what's that out there?" or "I have no idea what that is." No muttering, no nothing. Nope, just silence. But the online skeptic, known as Captain Disillusion, and you can go online and find out more about him, he pointed out how easily such a video could be faked using CGI, or computer-generated imagery, as many of you know what that stands for. This has been a common way to fake UFO videos ever since at least 2004, when I remember there was a series of fake videos that were put out onto the internet by a would-be special effects artist. And they were pretty convincing even then, and that was 10 years ago. All right, we ready? Let's go ahead and do another one here.
Fishy, fishy, fishy!
One fish?
Wow!
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it looks like this theist here was too busy to had too busy during Christmas to find time to commit any real misdemeanors, so he decided to vandalize an atheist holiday billboard. And this was a billboard with the words... he vandalized the billboard with the words, "God's not dead." But he couldn't do it during Christmas, so he had to put it off until the new calendar year. So after the holidays were over, yes, I've got some free time. Let's vandalize the sign. The billboard was located on I-25 in Fountain, Colorado. I don't know how exactly the locals pronounce it. That was part of the American Atheists' annual campaign to help closeted atheists recognize that they're not alone. It serves as encouragement for opting out of the religious aspects of the holidays. So the sign reads, "Go ahead and skip church. Just be good for goodness sake. Happy holidays." Which is a seemingly harmless message. But for those insecure in their faith, drowning out the doubt can only be achieved with a bucket of paint and, you know, maybe a well-played-out Christian mantra. It kind of reminds me of the billboard that Swift put up last year and, you know, the previous holiday season, and that said, "Dear Santa, all I want for Christmas is to skip church." Had a nice little capricious kid on it. This one had a picture of Santa Claus, this one in Colorado. Interesting, but you know what? I guess people just have to go ahead and... I'm not sure how their vandalism is supposed to convince people that their viewpoint is right. Yes, I object to these atheists and their sinfulness, so I'm going to commit a sin in order to show people that they're wrong. Yeah, that's smart for you. Not sure how that works. Guess what? It's about that time. Yes, it's about time to bring the grinding gears of the Sacred Cow First House to a grinding halt. I promise that I'll always do my very best to make sure that here you'll get the very best possible brain food for your precious time. Next time, we'll discuss how peanut butter and jelly can be used without any bread. Make sure to tune in to the other podcasts and webcasts of the Milwaukee community, such as the Secular She-Thinker on YouTube, the Craftcast, which is the official podcast of the Kenosha Racine Area Freethinkers, and the Mythicist Milwaukee Show. And don't forget that the Sacred Cow Verst House also exists as a blog. You can read original material and various segments heard on the show at sacredcowversthouse.blogspot.com. Opening music theme is by Universal Dice. Check them out at universaldice.com. And the closing atheistic music sampler, which you'll hear in a moment, is "Only the Good Die Young" by Billy Joel. Until next time, this is Eric J. Hildeman reminding you to use condoms whenever you use grocery store carrots as makeshift dildos. Good luck, thank you, and may the force be with you. So long, everybody.
Charmouth, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. Oh, but sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Oh, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done. Only the good die young. Show me a sign. Send up a signal, I'll throw you a line. Stained glass curtain you're hiding behind never lets in the sun. Darling, only the good die young. Whoa, 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 whoa. I tell you, only the good die young. Only the good die young. You got a nice white dress and a party on your confirmation. The sinners are much more fun. You know that only the good die young.